This comes to mind at the turn of the year, and I want this to be my prayer. So pray with me as I sing. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my plan, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I've found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Thank you, Mrs. Stein. More in the new year. Amen. We'll dismiss the sponges, my mom said.
Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. I love our church. I just love our church. This is great. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to pick up where we were studying last week on the subject of spiritual giftedness and finish up last Sunday's lesson and then begin one tonight. By way of review, we were talking about how that spiritual gifts are given to us by the Holy Spirit at the time of salvation. We spoke about that some this morning in Sunday school, talking about the purpose of the church. And sounds like I got a connection issue. Every believer, we said this, every believer is empowered to fill a specific place in the body of Christ. You are gifted in accordance with your role in the body of Christ. God has gifted you in a special way, and He's called you to serve. That those gifts are for the benefit of the local church. Spiritual gifts are meant to use in accomplishing the purpose of the local church. And then we said finally, and this is where we're going to pick up tonight, that through the use of our spiritual gifts, the spiritual gift is an ability, okay, that the church is enabled to do what God calls it to do. Through the spiritual gifts that God gives to His people, members of the body, the church is enabled to do what God calls the church to do. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and then we'll begin. Lord, I thank You for Your word. I pray that You would help us tonight as we study, that Your word would be clear. Speak to our hearts. Help us, dear Lord, to see where we fit in. In Your name I pray. Amen. Yes. Ephesians chapter 4 puts it this way, and I'll read from this, and then you're there in you're there in 1 Corinthians. My notes are not copied, and I'll probably quote it incorrectly. So I'm going to turn there. Every now and then when I copy the verses into my notes, I'll miss one. Ephesians chapter 4 speaks of spiritual giftedness. And we came to this point where we said that they're given for the purpose of use within the body. They correspond to your role within the body. They're for the benefit of the local church. And they enable the church to do what God calls the church to do. In other words, God commands the church to do some things, but it's not possible without the gifts that He gives to people. And we gave this analogy that there's a church over here with a need. Somebody gets saved and God's Spirit indwells them, and God in His providence gives them a spiritual gift corresponding to the role that the church needs filled. And then He leads them to this church. Now, whether or not they respond is up to our free will. We must choose to obey God. God does not force it upon us. And I see it that way in Scripture. In fact, in verse 16, it says in Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body, fitly joint together and compacted by that which every joint, body part, supplieth. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The body is edified as every joint and every part works in the way that God has enabled it to. Within your body, there's not an argument over what part of the body will perform what function, okay? Unless, of course, there's a neurological problem. Our body knows, that's coordination. My hand knows that it's a hand. It doesn't think about it. It just does what hands do. And so is my feet and my ears and my eyes and every part of my body. And that's the way it should be within the church. We each have a spot. And this is really a huge reason for church attendance, for faithfulness to the local body. Many times when we quote the passage out of Hebrews, we quote it to people saying, this is what the church can do for you. You need to be there because you need the church. Well, that's true. But if you listen to the passage, it actually says this: let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised, and let us consider one another to provoke. So the commandment to the hearer is to consider and be there so that they can do the provoking unto love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. So in other words, don't stop going to church. Go to church and exhort one another. Well, I went to church and nobody said hi to me. You're supposed to go and exhort. And as you do, and each member of the body does, guess what? It helps us. And it fills in. And it says, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. And if each one of us becomes the change that we desire to see in the church, each one of us, a part of the body, obeys Scripture, the church is stronger, the church is more unified, the church helps one another. God's design is for every one of us to fill a role within the body. You're there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look down at verse 12 and 13. As the body is one and hath many members, that's the analogy, and all one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, Christ. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. We have roles within the body just like the parts of your body do. And though there are different gifts, they fill different roles, all of them are needed. This is where sometimes there's going to be a warning we'll talk about in just a minute, a warning of spiritual giftedness. And about this study is that sometimes if we're not careful, we will expect other people to be the way that we are in their Christianity. When you grow in your Christianity, when you grow in your convictions, when you grow in your giftedness, when you grow in your sensitivity, you expect others to be exactly the same as you, sometimes not realizing that God has gifted you in that area. He has not gifted them in that area. And they could turn right around and expect you to be just like them. Well, guess what happens then? We fight against each other. Rather than realizing that we're different for a reason many times. Now, I'm not talking about laziness, or I'm not talking about people that are, ornery. They're ornery and you're not ornery and we just need to get used to that. I'm not talking about that. But we have sensitivity in different areas. God has gifted you in a special area. He doesn't expect everybody to be like you. Praise God for that, right? You're the only you that God has here. And we're glad that you're here. You're needed here. It is God who has gifted you and God who is pleased when you serve. Look down at verse 18. Now God hath set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. If you ever stand back and ask why you don't have a certain gift, that's the answer. Boom. Because maybe you're not realizing where God has gifted you. Why don't I have that person's gift? Why can't I do that? You know, this person's so comfortable in that way, or this person's so sensitive in that way. There are many things that within this body, I'll be very transparent with you. Different ones of you come up to me and say, "Preacher, have you thought about this?" Or, "Preacher, did you think about this?" Or, "Did you give this to this person?" Or, "Did you know this?" And you have a sensitivity in areas that I just do not have. And I'm so thankful for you. But I'm not going to be you. We need you. We need you. And I'm glad you tell me that. And I try to write it down, because if I don't write it down, I'll forget it. We're all different. And God has given you the gifts that you have. Now, can you develop other things? Yeah, sure. But you should be using the gifts that you have. Because if you're not, nobody else will. Many times when folks will say to, and this can be dangerous to say this, but I'm going to say it. I remember sitting under a preacher before, and he would say, you know, things would be happening in the church, and somebody would come to him and say, "Pastor, have you noticed that this needs to be done in the church?" And the pastor said, "No." And the person says, "Well, I've noticed it for a long time and just wish that somebody would do it." He looked at him and he says, "Well, you know, if you've noticed it, maybe God is telling you to do it." Because the sensitivity many times is coupled with the ability. And the rest of us, we didn't even notice. But when it's done, it's so much nicer. See, you have a place in this church, and if you're not in church, there's a vacancy and a need. Now, you can still function. I can still function as a body without a body part, but I'm disabled. I'm not as efficient. I'm not as well. And though some gifts are more public, some gifts receive more recognition, there is no gift that's more important than another. We're all part of it. You know the only body part that is the most important? It's the head. You can lose a lot of body parts and still live, but if you lose the head, you die. Who's the head of the church? Is it the pastor? No, it's Jesus Christ. That's exactly right. And sometimes people forget that. They think, "Oh, well, this person's more important than me, or that spiritual gift is more important than me." No, my friend, they're not. Look down at verses 20 through verse 27. In fact, that's addressed here. It says, "Now are they many members, but yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee." You know, the eye says, "Well, I can see." The hand, what's that going to do? You know, we don't need them. They're different than us. I wish they'd just get with the program. We don't need them. "Nor again the hand to the foot. I have no need of you." I mean, after all, you're covered up all the time. Nobody sees you. "I shake hands. What do you do?" "Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor." Think about your feet. You cover them up in shoes because feet are ugly.
But also socks.
And socks, that's exactly right. Very good. But you know what? At the end of the day, what do to your feet? Oh, you prop them up and you take care of them because you know what? They're hurting. And the rest of the body guards the feet. And if you don't, you're disabled. If your feet get disabled, sorry, friend, you're disabled. They're less comely. They're less honorable. But my goodness, they're so important. And when they are not there, you really notice it. And so it is with many parts of the body, within the body of Christ. Spiritual gifts that God has placed within the body of Christ, that they work behind the scenes. And we don't see and we don't notice until they're not there. And then we say, something just isn't right. And that person who says, "Well, I was covered up and I didn't know and I wasn't." No, you're needed. You're needed. Reading on, it says, "Our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh." God will honor you when you serve without glory for His glory. We don't do what we do for our own glory. We do for His and for the help of the body. Verse 25, "that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should all have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. You stub your toe, guess what? The rest of your body is altered. You walk different. You act different. That's the way it should be in the body of Christ. It doesn't matter what role the person has. They're important. They're loved. They're necessary. Moving on. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. That's a hard one. Maybe sometimes we can suffer with those who suffer, but when somebody rejoices, guess what? There's this green-eyed monster in our humanity that says, how come I never get honored?
When you're jealous.
Yeah, jealousy is a problem. And we forget that it's not about the member, it's about the body and about Jesus Christ. Now ye are the body of, what's that word?
Christ.
And members one particular. See, all roles are important, and the church is to function as a body. Both suffering and honor affect the entire body, and we realize that we're part of the body. I'm your pastor, but I'm just a member of the church that God has called to serve. I need you. You know what they say? If you lead but nobody's following, you're just taking a walk. Yeah. And our spiritual gifts really are tied to the body of Christ. Look at verses 28 through 30 as we close out this chapter. God has set some in the church. Okay, so he's going to go through some of these gifts of public ministry. First, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles?
No.
Are all prophets?
No.
Are all teachers?
No.
Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? You know, certain denominations would say yes. The answer is no. Do all interpret?
No.
But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And then he goes into chapter 13, which speaks of the demeanor. Regardless of what we do for the Lord, love for others must be governing it. See, through the use of our spiritual gifts, the church is enabled to do what God calls it to do. And as a believer, you are gifted. As a believer, you have a place in the body of Christ. And if you're not using your gift, the body is disabled. Now, moving on, I want to go ahead and take a step to the next stage. There's a warning of spiritual gifts. The warning. We've talked about what spiritual gifts are. They're a spiritual ability given to every believer. They're for the use within the local church. And we have a tendency to treasure those things. When you're given something, children have the most pure form of this. They want to show it off to everybody, right? And sometimes adults do that. You know, a man gets a new bass boat or a new truck. You want to take your new bass boat to church, right? Why not? I'm on the way. I want to fish after church, so I want everybody to see it. And it's a little kid in us. Men have, we're a little kid inside. But you want to show it off. You want to do these different things. It's a blessing. It's a treasure, but there can be a tendency or a nature to misuse, neglect, or even misunderstand. And so I want to address a couple of things. They are necessary. Friend, you are necessary. I'm glad you're here. God has gifted you. You do have a role. And just because you're not like everyone else doesn't mean that you're less important, less gifted, or less necessary. You are necessary, but in your own way. And through this study, Lord willing, that will come to light. God has gifted the spiritual gifts to serve, to edify, for the good of the church, and for His glory. But I want you to understand this. Your spiritual gift given by the Holy Spirit is only activated through the Spirit. Now, that's kind of a different focus, so I'm going to phrase that out. The successful usage of your spiritual ability is determined by whether or not you're letting the Holy Spirit control you. If it's a spiritual gift, right, given by the Holy Spirit, then it's determined that the successful usage of it is to the degree to which your spiritual gift is successfully used depend on how closely you walk in the Spirit. All works of the flesh are corrupt. And sometimes we as Christians, we still have the flesh. And if we're not careful, we'll try to minister in the flesh. There's pastors that can get up and preach and do so in the flesh, not having studied, not being led by God. And you know what? It falls on its face. We need God's Spirit to use us. Just like Sister Sharon was sharing earlier, you know, wanting to minister, wanting to be a blessing in our flesh, it's easy. Being the people that we are, it's easy to just, we don't know. We need God's help to guide us. Thank God for His grace there. I appreciated that testimony. And God can do that, but we have to allow God's Spirit to use us. The degree to which your spiritual gift is useful is how you are being led by the Holy Spirit. Lack of obedience is lack of discernment. And if you're not walking with Christ under the control of the Spirit daily, you're going to lack discernment in spiritual things. The presence of obedience is presence of discernment. If you're living an active life of obedience on a daily basis, submitted to God's Word and filled with His Word, you'll see clearly, you'll have discernment in personal matters. You know, God has gifted me, I believe, in the area of teaching and with the spiritual gift of pastoring. And the way that I know that, I'll be transparent, there are times that every person questions. There have been times that I've questioned my calling as a pastor. And you know what comes to mind, what confirms it, is that when I am right with God, there is nothing I would rather do than to teach God's Word and be a pastor to God's people. When I'm right with God, there's nothing that I would rather do. There's other things I enjoy doing, but there's nothing that I would rather do. And that's really the way that spiritual giftedness is. It's confirmed by success, confirmed by the presence of God's Spirit, and it's successfully used within the body of Christ. It feeds people. There are names in this church that I could mention that if I were to say this person, you'd say, oh yeah, they're always serving in the church, the gift of service. You know, they enjoy it. They eat, sleep, and breathe it. There are others of you that have the gift of encouragement. Now, we'll get through what those gifts are in just a few minutes. I don't want to get too far ahead. But they're only activated through the Spirit of God. And they're only evident. Now, this is going to sound really strange. You're going to say, well, Pastor, obviously. But sometimes we forget these things. They're only evident through service. Now, take your Bibles and turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I want you to see what Paul tells Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. He's talking to him about the ministry, talking to the young pastor. Look at verse 6. Timothy, a weaker disposition, been struggled. There are some times in 1st and 2nd Timothy when Paul the Apostle tries to encourage him in his ministry, that he may have been questioning some things. And so reminding him of this, he says, look at verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, Timothy, I know you. I know you have faith, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded in thee also. It's okay, Timothy. You're going to do okay. God's gifted you. He wants to work through you. Wherefore, building upon that, I put thee in remembrance. I want to remind you of something, Timothy, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Paul the Apostle being the instrument of God, the planter of the local church, the foundation of the church, when the transition of the Spirit came through, that was how it was transferred many times. And so what he's saying is, God's Holy Spirit is on you. You are gifted in this area. Now stir up that gift that is in you. See, your spiritual gift was given to you at the time of salvation. Many times, though, people don't realize where they're gifted. They never step out, and it's because they never stir it up. They never start serving in different capacities to find out where God has gifted them. Are we on the same page? It lies below the surface, hidden like a seed underneath the ground, and the soil must be stirred up in order for it to grow. I don't know what mine is. Well, if you're not sure, try doing different things. Try serving in different capacities, seeing where you fit in. Once again, personal illustration. I was not sure that God had called me to preach. But every step of the way, God led. He led me to college, and then He narrowed my major in college, and then He led me to major in Bible. And I said, I'll be a Bible major. I really don't think I'm called to be a pastor, because preaching God's Word frightens me. I can public speak, but that's different than taking God's word. And the Lord allowed me to do a internship at the local church there. I didn't have any training in homiletics or anything. I didn't know how to write a sermon. And some men helped me, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it, and God's word began to come alive, and God began to use the things that He was doing through me. I'm just a third-year student in college. I didn't know anything. But it was God, and it was the gift of the Holy Spirit. You understand? And I began to realize the Lord is doing something here, and God's like, yes, tap, 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 you need to keep doing this. I found out I was called to preach when I started preaching. It's evident through service. That's the way our spiritual gifts are. Activated through the Holy Spirit, evident through service. Now, there are some warnings here. Like I said before, when you get something new and you have a gift or you have an ability, there's some difficulties. One warning is that of pride. See, God did not give us special abilities to build pride in us. He gave us special abilities to build up the church. Our flesh has a tendency to focus on the gift and magnify that, and it becomes a point of pride or even comparison. We say, well, why can't other people just figure this out? In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, listen to what the Bible says. Paul, who was a very gifted individual, he was gifted with the spiritual gift of the apostle. It says, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Look down at the apostle Paul, whom he had given very many revelations to, who he used to write much of the New Testament, to plant many, many churches, the first missionary evangelist in the Bible, powerful man of God. And yet in his ability, in his revelations, there was a tendency for him to become prideful. And you know what happens when we become prideful? Who gets the glory? We begin to seek for our own glory. That's the opposite of what we're supposed to do in our spiritual gifts. Our focus becomes on ourself. The Bible says in the book of James chapter 4, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. And so Paul was in a danger of losing the ministry through that sin of pride. Pride will shut down a local church. It'll destroy a local church when we begin to have pride in our service. So really, there's a warning of humility. Pride undermines the work of God. It seeks self-glorification. By the way, if God has given you an ability to use for Him, it's not like we earned it, right? We don't have our salvation because we earned it. He gave it to us. A spiritual gift is given to us. It's not earned or deserved. And so that's why in Romans chapter 12, one of the passages speaking about spiritual gifts, it says this, I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Each one of us. The ground's level at the foot of the cross. And if any one of us does anything for God, God deserves the glory by far. Amen. So there's really a warning about pride. There's also a warning about misuse. You know, because of who we are, we have a tendency to misuse the good things given to us by God. Misuse. One of the tendencies is to seek to create a name for ourselves. Those who use their ability to garner crowds or have seminars or achieve popular status, but if it's not building the church, remember, it's tied to the body of Christ. If the spiritual gift is for all these other things, but it's not building the body of Christ, that's misusing the spiritual gift. Amen. You understand? Misusing it. It's for Jesus Christ, the glorifying Jesus Christ. Sometimes folks will have an ability and they'll begin to recognize this and they want to use it apart from the local church. A spiritual capacity, but no desire to be part of a local church. Spiritual gifts are tied to your role in the body of Christ. I believe that based on what the Bible says. Some try to use it for gaining favor with others. Like a quid pro quo. Not a bargaining chip, not tool for manipulation. It is to serve the Lord. And sometimes people will come to this issue of spiritual giftedness. I have spoke to folks before. They kind of have a sour note when you bring up spiritual gifts. And the reason why is that they've experienced this. The people will say, well, I have the spiritual gift of, A and B, but none of the rest of them. So I'm excluded from doing anything else in the church. Can I tell you this? Spiritual, God did not gift you to exclude you from everything else. Don't look at your role as an exclusion from everything else in the Bible. Every one of us is gifted in at least one area. And you ought to be actively serving God in that area. We're going to narrow down on how to find that and how to zone that in. One way is just to be filled with the Spirit and serving God, and God's going to put you in that spot. Each one of us should be doing that. But even though you're not gifted in an area, doesn't mean you're excluded from obedience. The Bible talks about the spiritual gift of evangelism. Not everybody has the spiritual gift of evangelism. There's a good friend of mine who does, and I think he could witness to a fence post and it would walk the aisle, get saved and baptized and join the church. I'm serious. And I've watched him, and I use this illustration many times, and we've been out, you know, going door to door when I was in college, and he would say the same words that I would say, and the person would bow their head and accept Jesus Christ. And I could not figure it out. I began to realize God's gifted that man. There's been a man that I've ministered with before, and I'll say this cautiously. I think some of you who are preachers can understand this. As a preacher, he was difficult to listen to. But in personal evangelism, my goodness, he was powerful. I've seen other folks in service where they just have such an ability to see what needs to be done and to do it and to be a blessing. Did you know that God commands every one of us to share the gospel? He commands every one of us to serve others. Well, I'm not gifted in that area. It's okay. You still do it. You are gifted in an area. You should be doing that. But each one of us should be sharing the gospel. Each one of us should be, you know, speaking kindly to one another. I think about it this way with the body. I come home from the grocery store and I have a bunch of bags of groceries. All right. And of course, I'm too lazy to make two trips, so I carry everything in one trip. Right. 50 bags. Now, I don't have a free hand to shut the door. My hand shuts the door normally. So what do? I use my foot. Oh, but you can't do that. Your foot's made to walk on. Your foot's not made to shut doors. And my foot says, I'm a foot. I walk. I do not shut doors. No. You know what my foot does? It reaches up there and it shuts the door. And within the body of Christ, listen, within the body of Christ, many times the church may have a spot where we need an extra hand and we don't have one yet. And so a foot says, well, I'm used to walking, and this is going to be a little bit out of my comfort zone, but for the benefit of the body, I'm going to step in here and I'm going to shut the door. Are we on the same page? That's the idea. And so we do have a function. We have a place where God has gifted us. And as we serve in that capacity, the church is strengthened. There is unity. We become more like Christ. And every once in a while, guess what? We say, you know what? There's a need there and there's nobody gifted to do it. Well, I guess the best ability is availability. So I'm going to step in and do it. And I'm going to pray for somebody else to do it. Somebody else to come. I'm thankful that God has raised up within our midst to more than two ladies that can play the piano. Praise God for that. God did not gift me in the area of music. My goodness. Okay. But he did bring some folks who are different ones of you that, you know, you tell me about this person's need and you remember names and you remember birthdays and you send cards. Praise God for that. And you have the gift of hospitality and the gift of service. And I covet those gifts. And some of you, I've talked to, you have the gift of evangelism. Keep it up. But each one of us ought to be serving and ought to be helping out. See, because of the size of our church and other factors, you may need to fill certain roles that you're not gifted in. God can still help you if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. We don't have time to look at the list of gifts. I handed those out last week. As we close, we're going to look at the lists of gifts next week. And there's actually different categories. I'll say this. There's some different categories within the gifts. It's kind of neat because of the way that it breaks down. There's gifts of public ministry. There's gifts of helps. There's gifts of ruling, leadership, and government. And then there's sign gifts, which are miracle and sign gifts. And we'll get into those as well. And I believe that the spiritual gifts, the miracle and sign gifts, they're not active today because of what it was that they did. And it's tied to that. Now, could I be wrong? Sure, I'm fallible. But I don't think I am. And we'll talk about that from Scripture. As we close, though, I have just two points. One is, pray that God would build within you a desire to serve. Pray that God would build within you a desire to serve. Say, Lord, open my eyes to the area you would have me to serve. As a prayer partner, as a word of encouragement, giving in mercy and faith or in discernment or in knowledge or in wisdom, sharing the gospel, being a teacher, giving exhortation, all of these different things. And then take steps to stir up those gifts that are in you. You know, we have so many avenues for communication. We have so many ways. And I know different ones of you struggle with physical limitations, possibly. Maybe you don't. But if you do, there's still many things that you can do. Ask that God would open your eyes and start trying out the different gifts. We do have an active church. Praise God for that. But I think that we can continue to do better by God's grace. And when approaching the issue, realize the importance of humility. Realize the importance of serving in any capacity possible. So you know what? The hands are full right now. There's not another hand. I'm a foot or I'm an ear. I've closed the door with my forehead before. I think you get the point. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word. And I pray, God, that it's been an encouragement to your people tonight, that as we discuss this very practical issue, that we as your people would see the need to be more involved, see the need for just different facets of this ministry, that you would open our eyes, that you would use us to your glory, that Jesus Christ would be glorified by Independent Baptist Church, that each one of us as parts of this body would seek to serve not for self, but for you, would seek to be, involved, not for self, but for you. And dear Lord, as we do so, that you would be glorified. We thank you. In your name I pray. Amen. Would you stand to your feet, heads bowed and eyes closed? If God has spoken to your heart, friend, talk to the Lord tonight.